it's time. It is that time. Time for Stiles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Stiles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Friday, as Carmichael Dave gets kicked out of the studio. Didn't want to leave, but that's because we're going to have such a great time today as we take you up to 2 p.m. And next up after us is the Drive Guys. As always, you have our guy, Nate Littlefield, back behind the glass for us today. 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of the conversation, phone lines open all day because we're feeling good on a Friday. It's a payday Friday for somebody. So go out there and treat yourself.
That's right.
If you so choose. And it's also going to be outstanding weather. Finally. A Saturday with no rain.
Yeah.
Tried to get a tea time yesterday, all locked up already, but that's okay. There will be plenty of time. Oh, according to you Sacramentans, it's going to be too hot to golf in the summer. It's going to be too hot. It's going to be too hot to golf.
This guy is nuts.
Oh, my goodness. As we hope it is hot in Golden 1 tomorrow night when the Kings take on the Knicks. Chris Watkins, how's it going, my guy?
I'm great. Like you said, the weather's getting good. There's a chance I might go outside this weekend.
Oh.
Love that.
Hey, he's back outside.
Yo, look out. Back outside, boys.
Back outside, boys.
Okay. Feeling great. Headed towards the weekend. I almost forgot it was Friday this morning. And, that's always great when you realize, when you wake up, like, oh, yeah, I don't have to. I can sleep in tomorrow. So feeling good.
That's the opposite of when you think it's Thursday and it's only Wednesday.
That's the worst.
Which normally happens.
Yes.
Once a week.
Yeah.
Once a week, things are off as we get you ready for Kings Knicks tomorrow. As I said, I will be in the building as a fan. Right. I'll still stop by and say what's up to you and the rest of the crew, Brendan and Frankie and everybody else. But I will.
In a bad way, it gets really quiet when you're not there. Not like in a, like, man, Alan's, I mean, you're not quiet, but, like, at the same time, it's just like, I feel like, it feels like something's missing.
Wow. That's beautiful to hear. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. As we get you ready for a huge game tomorrow night up against the Knicks, who, I mean, you talk about a defensive, who are they, the Steelers?
The Steel Curtain Steelers? Yes, they are definitely the NBA Steelers.
This is ridiculous.
1,000%.
This is ridiculous, man. So nobody can be shy tomorrow in terms of taking open shots when you get them. And I know, it as simple as it sounds, it's a make or miss league. You got to hit some of them things.
Yeah.
You are probably, unless your defense is really where it's been the last couple days, and we'll get into some of these metrics with Keon Ellis, unless you're able to hold the Knicks to a ridiculously low number, and I think I read OG Anunoby probably will be playing. He came back, and now he's got an elbow, but he probably will be playing. 14-2 when OG plays. Mm. That's what you call return on investment.
Yeah.
So a lot of those ridiculously low scoring matchups, that was before OG came back.
Yeah.
So the Kings are going to have to be on their P's and Q's to take care of business. Before we get to the Knicks, though, coming up in a little bit, you're not going to want to miss this. At about 10:15, we're still going to make fun of the Lakers. Mm. And there's more bad sound that is circulating with the Lakers, and we will play that for you. We will hear from Jorge Sedano, who was on the Drive Guys yesterday, and discuss his thoughts on how The Kings are essentially turning into the dark horse team.
Yep. And right in front of our eyes.
That kind
of
scares me, though, if we're honest. Because March Madness around the corner as well. Mm-hmm. There'll be at least four or five dark horse teams. That three seed always looks enticing.
Those 5-12s.
Those 5-12s. Yep. There's always a 12. Because when's the last time, I guess if we're talking about major sports, when is the last time a dark horse has won the whole thing?
Oh, the whole thing?
The whole, not made some noise, won the whole thing.
I mean, maybe like the Nick Foles Eagles, maybe, but I don't even know if people were, I mean, I can't speak to if people were actually believing that they could get it done. I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, it's definitely, especially in basketball, I mean, it doesn't happen. Maybe you could be right. A dark horse to make some noise, and you could be like the, I mean, you know, the Miami Heat got about as far as you can as an underdog last year, and, you know, the Lakers, I guess, if you want to say that, yesterday, yeah, or last year in the conference finals.
Are you guys saying any time frame?
Yeah, it could be any time frame.
I mean, the Giants would beat the Patriots.
Well, yes, I guess we could do any time frame, or I guess recently, but then there's straight up underdog. And dark horse, that's the thing. Dude,
right.
Oh, so like they have to have some weight behind them, and you have to be like,
they're
okay,
the
this
sexy
team.
Pick.
Yes.
Right. And I feel like the dark horse is the sexy pick, and I feel like the Giants were not the sexy pick. They just weren't picked.
No.
Right? And
okay.
Like the San Francisco Giants in 10, 12, and 14, I wouldn't call them, maybe in 12 and 14, they were dark horses because of 10.
What about the Rams 2 years, 21?
I could get down with that.
Yeah.
I could get down
Mahomes
with that.
Is still around. Then you have Burrow too, coming up. Brady's still around.
And I would also say that the dark horse can get there, right? The dark horse gets there very often, but you got to win it. I would say the Bengals were a dark horse.
I'm familiar with getting there very often and not winning it.
But you guys don't – Niners don't get there as dark horses.
No, they're not dark horses, but I'm just saying.
The Diamondbacks last season with the World Series, I don't even know if they were dark horses because nobody picked them.
Exactly.
I think, oddly enough, the Rangers may have been a dark – even though they balled out,
right.
A lot of people were looking at the Astros and the same old teams. But I'll tell you this much. In Sacramento, being a dark horse is better than being no horse at all. So the fact that you're getting this type of respect from national media, we played Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp yesterday. Jorge Sedano was on the Drive Guys yesterday as well. So we have that sound for you. It's a new day, Chris. Yeah. It's crazy how so much can change. And
that's exactly what I was just thinking.
And I don't want to go there, but it could all change back.
Oh, yeah.
It could all change back in a week.
It's a miracle what happens when you beat the media darlings, that is the Los Angeles Lakers. All of a sudden, everybody starts paying attention, and nobody even talks about the Kings being up and down all season, because right now they're up, and so they can ride this dark horse as long as they can. But yeah, you're completely right. The second the Kings, you know, start to falter, or if they lose to the Pelicans, or if they lose to one of these Mavericks games coming up, yeah, I'm sure people will turn their back to the Kings once again, and they'll be right back where they've always been as the team that's not talked about. Because, you know, I will say, in a weird way, especially with this team, how we've seen how they've dealt with expectations, I think I'm okay with nobody talking about us.
That's right. That's right. When things get a little bit too big,
things start to get hot.
Honestly, that's what happened at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
To be completely honest with you, they had a lot of expectations, and not to say that they completely miss on them. They had expectations. I think it was more about the Timberwolves and the Thunder exceeding expectations versus the Kings not meeting them. By the way, and who does this scare? This is speaking about being the dark horse and how things change. The Kings were 1.5-point underdogs at home to a Laker team that they had never lost to. You want to know what the line is today, according to Odd Shark?
For tomorrow's game?
For tomorrow's game.
I would
say... It's going to scare you. It's going to scare you.
Oh, man. Okay. That makes me feel like the Kings are favored by 5.
Kings are favored by 7.5.
What?
7.5.
I wonder if they're questioning OG's availability.
Maybe. But that scares the heck out of me.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely doesn't make me comfortable. I mean, I feel like earlier in the season we talked about when the Kings were, what, like 16-point favorites? Mm-hmm. Again, I mean, that was against the Charlotte Hornets, and the Kings did end up losing that game. But, yeah, I mean, the Knicks are a tough, tough team. And I guess maybe the thought process there is the Kings' offense has been clicking as of late. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if the Knicks have held opponents under 100, but that's also because the Knicks struggle to get over 100 themselves. So maybe the thought process is the Kings' offense is just going to be an undeniable force that's going to get to 115 points. And it's just, I mean, Jalen Brunson's going to have a 40-point game again if they're going to want to put up that many.
Yeah, there's not a lot of offensive options with the Knicks right now with no Julius Randle. We will also hear, not from directly Brandon Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli, but we are in contact with them to get updates after the shoot-around to hopefully get some injury updates for everyone before we take off and before the game tomorrow, which could then change, of course. When we return, wise words from Michael Malone in Denver. It speaks to how we should be looking at this starting lineup. And yeah, don't forget, we're going to make fun of the Lakers again. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Don't forget your chance to win tickets to see Hasan Minhaj. Live Nation is teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see local legend Hasan Minhaj at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center from beautiful downtown Sacramento on March 29th. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m. Chris Watkins and his great mood will pick the caller today or the caller number today, 916-339-1140, as we get you ready for a huge, huge matchup against the New York Knicks. So give me the rundown, Chris. You've been my guide this whole time. What can we expect as far as the Knicks turnout? There's going to be a lot of orange and blue in there.
It'll be interesting. I actually don't think so. I mean, I would assume that there would be some, you know, obviously, I mean, you can go to any Kings versus, you know, pick the most random Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. You'll find some random Cavs fans in there. You know, I think the Knicks don't – I mean, it's quite literally on the complete opposite side of this country. So there's not a ton of New York transplants out here. So it really shouldn't be anything that you notice. Like, of course, there's going to be slight murmurs of cheers, but shouldn't be anything Chicago Bulls level. Definitely not Boston Celtics level, even though those are still same.
Well, Miami too, but the difference is Miami's one.
That's right.
Chicago's one. That's right. And that's what breeds fans.
In a weird way, the Knicks are like a big market version of the Kings. Like they're like
in what way?
Just like, I mean, incredibly unsuccessful since the 90s even. They're like, I mean, being in a big market, mm-hmm. you're supposed to be able to attract all these free agents. You're supposed to be this destination location. You've got the history of being what New York Knicks mean to that city. And yet they haven't really attracted any free agents. And, they still haven't really found success. They're pretty much in the same exact spot as the Kings are. Mm-hmm. They made it to the second round last year, but I mean, they're not really any closer to a championship than the Kings are either.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, the difference is they do a lot of talking as if they're going to get, the list, who's worse as we get back to this Darvin Ham sound that we're about to play, who is worse between the Photoshops with Knicks fans and Laker fans and how the Knicks are supposed to have Kevin Durant.
Sure.
The list goes on and on. And they end up with an undersized guard in Jalen Brunson that really is there. A lot of it is because of his daddy.
Yes, exactly.
A lot of it is because of his pops. And the fact that the Mavericks and their idiotic selves turned down Jalen Brunson twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in all actuality, the biggest – and was it trade how they got Julius Randle? Was that a trade?
Yes, I believe so.
So Jalen Brunson's your biggest free agent acquisition, but – That one's got an asterisk next to it.
Right, yeah, because Carmelo they traded for, even though they probably could have gotten him in free agency if they just waited 6 months. Amari Stoudemire might have been a free agent. I think that might have been like their previous big free agent signing. But, yeah, I mean, I would say the Lakers are worse. I mean, the Lakers are the OG of Photoshop. Mm-hmm. And the thing about the Knicks is, at the very least, their hopes and dreams and Photoshops are – all based off of like, oh, he's from New York, or KD's you know, business partner is Rich Kleiman, who's like the biggest Knicks fan in the world, or, you know, Leon Rose used to be in charge of the CAA agency, and this guy used to be one of their biggest clients. Like, they're things that make sense. Lakers don't care if it makes sense or not. They're just going to put Giannis, Steph, LeBron, AD, and Joel Embiid in a graphic and say, just wait for next year.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, they're just, they're fully delusional.
Yeah, they really are.
Never go full Laker.
And speaking of delusional, here's Darvin Ham. And to be fair, before we play this sound, it is taken out of context.
Very much so.
But we don't care. Because it's still floating around.
It's still confusing.
We'll explain the rest of the context after. But this is in the post-game presser. Darvin Ham is asked a question. And throughout his answer, this is what he had to say. And it's been cut and been played. And Laker fans are destroying him. Here it is.
I wish I could tell Mike Brown, please come down to this, to when you play offense. Just let us know what you're going to run in so we can, you know, stop it and not have to, you know, give second and third efforts.
So basically the rest of the quote is pretty much, but that's not going to happen.
Right.
So we have to be prepared, and we weren't prepared.
Right.
But it still sounds insane.
Right. Yeah. It's because, yeah, I mean, I just don't understand what he was. Like, yeah, I mean, he didn't need to set it up like that. You know, he's rightfully so getting dragged. Like, I mean, I know it's cut out of context, but, like, bro, how about you just, like, draw up a good defensive game plan? Like, to even have that in your mind of, like, oh, yeah, like, Mike Brown, I don't know.
It just seems so obvious. It seems like such an obvious statement. Why would you say
that? Right, exactly. I don't get it. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me that Laker fans are taking it and running with it, and they don't care. I mean, Laker fans, there's no way Laker fans are going to do the necessary research to find out that he had more to say. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to get that fool out of there. I think that's the biggest thing, he is done.
Yeah.
He is so done. And I think that's kind of why you see LeBron's effort. You know, really, he didn't care in that game, especially defensively. But like you said, he had 9 points in the first three quarters, and then kind of turned it on late. Like, that's not a good situation, man. Like I'm not sad about it at all. But watching the Lakers just kind of be lifeless it's just interesting, man. Like, I'm just surprised that there's not more pride, because LeBron, especially being 39 years old, you would just think he's like, I ain't got time to mess around here. So, I don't know. It's a really weird situation.
I think he's just look, exactly what Brian Windhorst said. I think they're just praying that they get a decent matchup, an injured T-Wolves.
Right.
We got to get out of the play-in. I think they're assuming that at this point it's looking like, and I know the Warriors are supposed to get Steph back soon, it's looking like the Lakers will host they have to win two, right?
Yeah.
So they would host the Warriors, and then they would have to face the loser of Suns, Mavericks, how it is set up right now.
That's how it's going to be.
That's how it's going to be.
Speak it into existence.
That's right.
That's how it's going to be.
And so you got to win two of those games, and then you got to go on to hopefully play the Thunder. And if you play the Nuggets, it's just...
Ooh, another sweep?
If you play the Nuggets, that's just not even good.
Update that AD graphic, quick.
If you play the Nuggets, that's not even good for the rest of the league, because the Nuggets probably won't even have to lift a finger.
No.
To take care.
No, they killed them last year.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. And who knows what's next. We talked to Jovan Buha, Lakers writer for The Athletic, a couple days ago, and essentially he said that he thinks LeBron will be there next season, but after that season, he doesn't know. That would also make LeBron 41 at that point. So in 2 years, when LeBron's 41. At that point, I don't know. I think...
How can you bet on anyone to be good at 41 years old?
Yeah.
I don't care who it is. I mean, I know Tom Brady just did the impossible here, but like... It's a lot more movement and in action in basketball.
I would be prepared, if that's the case, if Jovan, who's very plugged into the Lakers,
absolutely,
check out his YouTube as well, I would say that we should prepare, number one, for ridiculous photoshops,
can't wait,
all day long with the Lakers. But number two, they might not swing and miss. I'm saying they're going to try for
just
DeRozan,
swing for the fences,
Kyrie, And a lot of people are saying Zach LaVine. They don't care about position. They don't care about money. The one thing bringing this back to the Kings is that Laker fans and Lakers media is saying that Anthony Davis has been very open about the fact that he does not want to be a five.
Right.
He said it time and time again. Continue to play him as a five, and that is not where he is best suited. So I don't know who their five is. That's the problem, or who they bring in. Andre Drummond, he's not – I don't think he's going to start for you. So I don't know what they do, but that's their problem.
It sure is.
And Darvin Ham, hoping that coaches will tell him what they're going to run, is going to continue to be memed. And I'll tell you what, LeBron might be there next season, but I do not think that
players coach
Darvin Ham will be. When we return, wise words from Michael Malone and how it connects to the Kings lineup and their playoff rotation. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Don't miss your chance to win tickets to see local legend Hasan Minhaj. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see him March 29th. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Speaking of, all guests and callers, join us for the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Heard some sound, and based on when I got this clip or saw this clip, it was, I believe it was from the playoffs last season. And Michael Malone said something that I think was really interesting. Chris and I have spoken about it before, and it's all about being dynamic, right? And when you talk about somebody being a designated hitter in basketball, as far as they only can play defense, they only can play offense, and in the playoffs, that ain't going to work. Well, this was Michael Malone in the midst of their championship run talking about the type of players that they need and are looking for.
In the playoffs, you can't be a specialist. Specialists don't play in the playoffs. You got to find a way to impact the game.
How many specialists do you think are on the Kings roster right now? Or I guess in the rotation?
Kevin Huerter, for sure. I mean, he's a three-point specialist no matter what. You know, that we talk about his or Mike Brown talks about his defense and the deflections, all that stuff. We always make fun of it, but he's a shooter. That is what Kevin Huerter is. You say it all the time. I really, all the other stuff is fine and dandy, but if Kevin Huerter isn't making his shot, he's not going to be playing.
Yeah.
So he's a specialist for sure. HB, I have a tough time because
dull Swiss Army.
Yeah, knife. It's just like, what is the one thing that, like, to say specialist, it's almost like, you know. So I guess HB is fitting Mike Malone's descriptor of you got to be versatile, because in theory, HB is spreading the wealth across, or he's filling all the buckets. He's not just there for one specific thing. Would you put Davion as a specialist? Like,
yeah,
is he's a ball pressure specialist?
You have to.
You know, I think at this point in time, you probably have to put Keon Ellis in there.
You have to. You know? A couple hot shooting nights.
Yeah, and that can change. It could be a 3-and-D, which is,
I would say 3-and-D is versatile.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Like Aaron Gordon to me is versatile.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, but if...
KCP.
Or KCP, you know? But I don't know that we've seen enough from Keon offensively.
To stamp it. Right.
Has he been versatile?
Yes.
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 Is he a versatile player or
we
going to be? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's Davion...
Huerter, Keon.
And that's three out of what? The nine guys?
What
about Trey? Trey Lyles.
I think Trey's got versatility. He can shoot. He's, you know, a big body. He can rebound. I would say Trey is versatile enough to not be classified as a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't, I wouldn't say that he's just out there to hit threes. Like we've seen him pump fake, drive, play center. So he has to, you know, play in, not necessarily in the post, but at least defensively, he's got to be the guy crashing boards. Trey is like as close as it gets maybe to being classified as a specialist, but I think he does enough other things to not be classified as one. That would probably be it. Duarte is in theory a 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
You more than likely get one of the other.
Vazenkov is a specialist.
Vazenkov
is
absolutely
he's
a specialist.
Not be in the rotation.
Yeah. I guess you could put JaVale McGee as a specialist. Like he's out there to jump, you know, essentially. Like he's
Alex
there
Lynn.
To be vertical.
Are Alex Lynn and JaVale McGee the same specialist?
No, I don't think
so. Yeah, they're just so different in size, right? Yeah, but what's the difference between the two?
I mean, JaVale is used, again, like they use him as a lob threat and then defensively protect the rim. You could say that that's two sides of the ball, but, you know, he's really just, again, using his verticality on both ends, and that's really the extent of what he's being used. So I would say he's like a vertical specialist. Mm-hmm. Alex Len, I don't know what the specialty would be besides he's just big. Like
yeah.
he's a big body who does a lot of things with that body though. Like he uses it, you know, I don't know. Yeah,
he is a specialist, but yeah, he's just a big body disruptor.
Yeah, I guess
will.
That would probably be it.
Yeah. So looking at that roster,
but those are also end of the bench guys, and like those guys
right,
are definitely supposed to be specialists.
Yes, if we keep it to
that's what makes them end of the bench.
Yes, for sure in the rotation. I don't even know if Duarte is in that conversation.
Yeah, right.
I think out of the for sure rotation, which is obviously the starters and then Malik,
yep.
Davion, Keon,
and Trey. Yeah,
and Trey. I think I think the Kings are very confusing because you have two specialists in Davion, Keon, and Herter. But then you have a group of another two to three with HB, Trey, I guess just HB and Trey, where they're not specialists, yeah. but they're also not great at anything.
Yeah.
And that's where in a way, I almost somewhat disagree with Coach Malone. I understand what he's saying, but if you're that good at something, you also can play. On the other side of things, if you're not great at anything, I also can't play you.
Sure.
If HB isn't hitting shots and isn't able to stop anybody, the fact that he is not a specialist actually hurts the team.
I think he's getting at where it's like in playoff basketball, it's all about exploiting mismatches. Mm-hmm. And if you're one side of the ball player, regardless of what side it is, so if you are, we'll use Keon Ellis as the example. Let's just say Keon's offense is a regular season thing, and in the postseason, his lights are a little bit brighter. He's not seeming to hit, you know, nearly as high percentage of threes as he's hitting right now. Let's just say that offensively, he's in the corner. Mm-hmm. They're just not going to guard him. They're going to say, much like I've said, like, if Keon Ellis is taking a jump shot, that's a win for us. We're willing to live with that. Defensively, if you're Kevin Herter and you know you're the offensive specialist, they're just going to attack you.
Yeah.
So I think it's more just Mike saying you have to be a player that cannot be pinpointed as a weak spot on either side. Of course, five guys on the floor, somebody is naturally going to be the weak spot of that five, but it's about making sure that it can't be exploited. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where maybe you could argue Kevin Herter. We've seen him start to get exploited on the defensive end where teams are just attacking. Mm-hmm. I think there's greater possibility that a guy like Davion Mitchell, offensively, they're going to leave him and say, if Davion's going to hit this three four times today,
right.
I guess we're just going to lose, but we're going to bet on him going 2 of 8 instead of 4 of 8.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's really where the Kings need to be viewing things from is there anybody that we're going to be playing heavy minutes? Because, you know, everybody's got to find, you know, 5-minute pockets here and there. But is there anyone who's going to be playing an elongated amount of time that can essentially be hunted?
And that is why Keon Ellis has been so valuable.
Yes.
Because as much as we give Kevin Herter grief, right, and not just us, a lot of the Kings fan base, he is still respected as a shooter, right? So not only is he being exploited on the defensive end, they're also in his grill and trying to make sure that he doesn't get into a rhythm offensively.
Yeah.
And we've discussed it. He doesn't really shoot off the dribble, so it's hard for him to get his shot off at times. That makes it tough. With Keon Ellis, number one, he's a plus on the defensive end. And offensively, teams are not going to respect Keon Ellis shooting the same way they respect Kevin Huerter.
Absolutely.
So if he can burn them, then that's just
value.
Found money.
Yeah,
that's the value. They're not going to sell out on Keon. Maybe eventually they will, but the problem is, depending on who you're playing him with, that is why, Chris, as much as people like it right now and Davion's played better, that is why, I'm be honest with you, I'm not completely sold on the three-guard lineup. I don't know how much I like Keon and Davion.
Sure.
There are times where it looks...
When one of them is making their shot.
Exactly.
Sure.
But if I see that, their team clamp up.
Yeah.
But offensively...
It could stagnate
a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And that I wonder if the three-guard lineup, maybe they're figuring out who are the three guards that it's going to involve. Because, I think Fox, Malik, and Keon might make some sense. Mm-hmm. But, it might not make as much sense if you have Davion and Keon on the floor with one of those two other guys. Because, like you said... It might just kind of boggle things down. So I think that's what hopefully these remaining games will be about. But I do think that there's levels to it. Like Mike Malone just went through all of the playoff rounds. I think in the first round, your bench is allowed to be a little bit bigger. But as the rounds go on, mm-hmm. you've got to kind of condense. And that's where I think you really have to start paying attention to what Mike's talking about there.
Coming up next, we hear from Jorge Sedano. He was on the Drive Guys yesterday. And oh, how things have changed. The Kings are now the team that no one wants to face. Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
The old saying goes, men lie, women lie, but numbers never lie. And, Chris, I've heard that before. I actually feel like they don't always tell the truth, right? Numbers never lie is how it ends. But numbers may not ever lie, but they don't always tell.
They don't tell the full story.
The whole truth, the full story. So a little bit later, we will have a conversation about Keon Ellis and how his numbers look and how his stats look and whether or not we should be getting as excited as we currently are, and if that sample size is big enough. Let's hear from Jorge Sedano right now, who was on the Drive Guys yesterday, who had some things to say about the Kings, and he used some words that I don't think we were discussing last week. Here's Jorge Sedano.
And I think they're better suited, having gone through the experience that they went through last year. They certainly surprised me last year at times defensively in that series against Golden State. And now I've seen it in bursts for this team this year in the regular season. So I expect that to be a consistent thing for them.
So these are amazing.
Wow. Wow. That's good.
Wow, these are good.
That's delicious.
There you go. So Jorge Sedano, he was really high on the Kings, and obviously everybody's afraid of Denver, but I think the biggest thing here is that these top three seeds are unproven.
Yeah.
Right? And if you can get away, or if you can get that Thunder, and here's the other thing, if you're the Thunder or the T-Wolves, you're hearing all this.
Right.
Okay? I know I saw that Karl Anthony Towns put a Gohan or Goku picture on his Instagram, basically saying it was him in the tube in the chamber as he's getting ready to return. Initially, it said Karl Anthony Towns wouldn't be back until the Western Conference Final, but these guys are young and they can recover quickly. So we'll see. But do you think that national media is now going overboard on the Kings because they don't watch the Kings all the time?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting him to say, like, we've seen this team lock up defensively or have that defensive intensity in spurts. Like, I think that's kind of a little bit of telling on himself. Like, I definitely don't feel like the Kings have had multiple games of really good defensive play. It's really just been their last two games have been their really two of their best defensive performances of the season. So I haven't seen the continued sense of elevated defensive intensity that he's referring to. I'm not saying that we haven't just reached a turning point here where maybe these two games is what the Kings build on, but you know, he goes on to say that, you know, if you continue to play that defense and you don't play Denver in the playoffs, you could find yourself in the conference finals. I am not willing to go that far right now. I'm not saying he's wrong. I definitely think we could map out a possible scenario where the Kings do get some favored matchups in the first and second round and make it to the conference finals. But I would not be willing to say that what I've seen from this team, especially just the general inconsistency, not even necessarily just on defense, but from what we've just watched from this team all year, it'd be very ambitious and optimistic to say these guys are absolutely right in the thick of it for conference final contention just as much as teams like the Suns and the, you know, if you want to put the Clippers in that same tier, like he kind of was almost, and I understand if you listen to the full thing, it really is just him complimenting Denver and almost Denver being in a tier of their own. But I would say that there's probably three tiers to it, and the Kings are probably more so top third tier than in that second tier, which I would put, you know, the Clippers, OKC, Minnesota, maybe the Pelicans in there, maybe Phoenix if you like them. But I feel like that's just the more likely group to reach that. And I feel like the Kings and some of these other teams that we're finding at the bottom of the West are, I mean, they're at the bottom for a reason.
Yeah. And look, we're all happy that everybody is high on the Kings right now. I think that going back to that dark horse conversation, that's literally the Pelicans.
Right.
That's literally the Pelicans, and it's the Pelicans for the last, what, two, three seasons? Mm-hmm. That's that team that I feel could legitimately, quote-unquote, make some noise.
Yeah, they just got to be healthy.
They got to be healthy. But at the same time, if the Kings get hot and you can defend and be a little bit handsy as they've been able to do the last couple games against two free throw. The positive way to look at this is everybody's saying, hey, we're talking about the free throws and the pace being the pace of number of free throws being so low since years and years and years ago, but the Kings still gave up a ton of free throws. You could say, yeah, but they gave up a ton of free throws to two free throw merchant teams and they still won.
Yeah.
So the chances of, and first of all, those two free throw merchant teams, one of them is probably not going to face the Kings in the Western Conference because that's the Lakers and they're trash and front runners. And two, the Bucks, okay, we'll deal with it. If the Kings get to the finals,
right,
we'll deal with it. That is the last thing on our minds right now. So the only other team that I feel like could exploit this, and Chris, correct me if I'm forgetting another team, would be your boy, Mr. Let me make an IG post every time I win a game and I'm the coolest and I got all the fashion going on.
Stop it.
Would be Shai Gilgeous.
The free throw merchant himself.
Shai Gilgeous and the Oklahoma City Thunder. That would worry me against a handsy team like the Kings. And maybe I'm forgetting another team off the top of my head. Shadily, Kawhi, he does it with integrity, but that man knows how to get to the free throw line.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So that team.
James Harden, yeah.
That team. So, yes. Clippers and the Thunder worry me.
Yeah, Clippers definitely for sure. Yeah, the Thunder, I just feel like with the Thunder, when I try and map out that series, I just see Sabonis dominating Chet Holmgren. It's a lot like the Anthony Davis matchup, but honestly, way worse for Chet. Like Chet, it would be like if Sabonis right now was going against like a rookie AD. He just doesn't have the size to deal with them. And I have no idea why OKC went through the trade deadline and didn't get a big. Like, they needed a big last year when they were running the other Jalen Williams, who's like 6'8 at center. And now it's him and Chet as their only big. So I just think Sabonis is going to dominate that matchup. And, you know, I feel like Shea and De'Aaron will pretty much play to a stalemate. And at that point, it's on the others, right? It's on Keegan. I'm going to do that all season long. It's on Keegan. It's on Herter to have those big series. But, yeah, you know, if we're just talking from the foul merchant perspective of it, I hear what you're saying. Like, the Kings do play a very physical, up-at-the-ball, pressure kind of defense. And, you know, if it depends how they're going to call it, right? Are they going to call it like how they've been calling it recently, where they're going to let those guys play and be handsy? Or are they going to fall back into letting Shea head whip around and get fouls? And if that's going to be the case, I mean, that doesn't, you know, slowing the game down really doesn't play into the Kings' hands.
No, especially if you're talking about getting into foul trouble.
Yes.
And now
if Sabonis gets in foul trouble, that's where the Kings get in trouble.
Yeah, Sabonis, we've seen De'Aaron, he fouled out once. I recall fouling out once this season. And the same way teams will hunt different guys to try to get buckets, they will hunt guys. If Sabonis has two early fouls and he gets sit down, as soon as he comes back in, that's what teams are going to do. I'm going to go at Sabonis. I'm going to try to get him his third. I'm going to try to get him his fourth. That's what teams do to Karl-Anthony Towns and some of these guys that are bigger and offensively gifted but may not be defensively gifted, to put it nicely. But Jorge Sedano, number one, awesome that the Drive guys got him on. He's a legend in the game. Shout out Jay.
Jay's got to have his fingers on that one.
How many contacts do you think is in Jay's phone? Over, under? I don't even know how many contacts are in my phone.
You literally couldn't put a number on it. Like, there's no way. Because the thing about Jay's Rolodex is probably it's like the isn't there a game like three lines of separation?
Right.
Like, that's what I feel like Jay's Rolodex is. It's like, hey, I bet Jay doesn't have Michael Jordan's number. Yeah. Well, I bet you he could get it if he makes two phone calls. I guarantee. Like, it's crazy. I would probably put it, I mean, he's got to have two phones. Jay's definitely a two-phone guy.
Definitely a two-phone guy. He definitely had a sidekick back in the day as well. And a normal phone. I would say, when they go up to the
sick.
Oh, they were.
I used to love, my sister had one that, not the slide-up one, but like the
actual
flick
kick
around.
Yeah.
Oh, that's you could do it with some like intensity.
Oh,
you could really flick that thing out.
If you really wanted to look like you were busy, you flick that thing.
Oh, yeah,
and then
you just kind of snap it back in.
Yeah, hold on. I got something to say. Yeah. And, you know, have you seen those things on social media where they'll ask athletes how many unread messages do you have right now?
Absolutely.
I'm putting the over under for Jay at about, I'm saying 52 and a half.
Oh, yeah. I was going to go in the hundreds.
Okay.
I was definitely going to go in the hundreds. How many do you have?
No, I get OCD. I got
to
read everything.
I used to, but then I think something happened. I have 126. And
unread messages?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how it happened, but
some
of them
are
group. I mean, like, look.
What
is that? I've got group messages up top.
Are they muted?
No. It's just.
That's crazy.
I just got a lot of, It's not great. It drives me crazy, too. My mail app, I've almost thought about deleting. I have 13,000.
I can't. No, I'm feeling
emails.
Uncomfortable even having this conversation. Yeah. Got a couple texts that came through that we will read off, and also as we spoke about earlier and alluded to, men lie, women lie, but numbers never lie. We give you the Keon Ellis numbers when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.